This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 88, Rain Photography. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 88th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to do a podcast on rain photography, and this suggestion comes courtesy of Matt Ozzie, who made this suggestion some months ago. Before we continue, it's been about a month since our last podcast, and summer is such a busy, busy time. I'd like to apologize for the month absence. But now we're in fall, and it's slightly less busy, so I hope to put these suckers out about once every 2 weeks. Anyway, back to rain photography. Given that it's fall in many places around the world, perhaps not Australia, sorry, mate, it seems to be a really good time to do a podcast on rain photography, and since this is the internet, anyone can listen to this at any time, so let's get right to it. But before we get into it, I always like to thank people for comments on their last podcast, number 87, where we talked about the difference between rear curtain versus front curtain sink. If you're just listening to this for the first time, basically the difference between rear curtain sink and front curtain sink is that front curtain sink, the flash basically fires at the beginning of the exposure, and a rear curtain sink, it fires toward the end of the exposure. And this is very, very useful to control the blur, whether the blur happens before the subject or after the subject. So as we know, when we take a picture of a moving subject, if we use a slow enough shutter speed, there will be blur. And again, how this blur looks, either in front of the subject or behind the subject, this can be controlled by a rear curtain or front curtain sink. And actually, there were comments left by Isak, Jack Label, Robert V, and Glenn Uloth. And I usually don't read comments, but once in a while, they pose an additional question. And I thought the answer was useful, so I'm going to read it now. So basically, Robert V from Scotland, he asks, I've never really understood the need for front curtain sync, other than historic value. If something is moving and the shutter speed is slow enough for this to be noticed, then I want the flash at the end of the exposure so it looks natural. I cannot think of a reason for it to be the other way. With this in mind, I always set second curtain sync on my cameras and flashes. To which I responded, and I'm just going to read my exact comment word for word. Robert, front curtain sync, it lets you freeze the action as it happens with less delay. In mission critical timing situations, you want that flash to fire as soon as you see the action happening, which is at the beginning of the exposure. Also, when shooting people in TTL mode, rear curtain sync introduces a pre-flash that you never see. It's there, but you don't see it because it happens too close to the actual flash burst in front sync flash. This pre-flash can be damn annoying to your subjects and cause them to instinctively blink between exposures. You will clearly notice this pre-flash as your exposure gets longer. The pre-flash will not happen if the flash is in manual mode, just as an FYI. So I think that comment is pretty self-explanatory, but basically, you know, if you really want to catch the action and freeze the action, it has to be at the moment that it's happening. And like we said, when we use rear curtain sync, there is a delay. And because of this delay, what you want to catch might not be catch at the exact moment. The delay may cause you to actually miss your shot. So I hope that makes sense. And in terms of pre-flashes, your portable flash needs to figure out what's going on, basically. It needs to figure out the exposure. It needs to figure out how far your subject is from your camera. So it emits a pre-flash. And like I said, when this pre-flash happens close to the actual flash, you won't notice it. But if you're doing, let's say, a 1 second exposure and you're using rear curtain sync, you will clearly notice that it looks like two separate flashes. One is the pre-flash, and then a second later, it's the actual flash. And if you're shooting like a model, as we just mentioned, it can screw with their eyes and blink and make you miss the shot. So hope that answers your question. Glenn Uloth also added, thanks for the review, Marco. One extra comment from me, Robert V. Marco's already covered the best reasons for front curtain sync, but there is a style reason too sometimes. I've seen shots where you want the subject to look like they've left the frame and front curtain sync was done to freeze the subject and then provide streaks as they move out of the frame. So Glenn's point is well made, and I basically summarize it by feel free to break the rules for your own creative needs. Just know what you're doing, know the rules, and know how to get there by breaking the rules. So yeah, you could do whatever you want. It's just a matter of knowing what effect is going to give you what. But really, if any of this sounds intriguing and you're only hearing it for the first time, you should take a listen to the podcast. It's about 14 minutes, something like that. So you'll get some good info in a short amount of time. All right, then let's get right into today's podcast. And it's a suggestion, as we said, by Matt Ozzie. Thanks so much. And he writes as follows. Perhaps a podcast of how to make use of those wet days during and after rain to stop us looking out the window first thing in the morning and getting depressed because we don't think we are going to have a good camera day. Reflections in puddles of water comes to mind. Angry skies, brightly colored subjects, wet flowers look great, for instance, because the sun isn't leeching the life out of them. Leeches. So first off, great suggestion, Matt Ozzie. You know, too many people, they just wimp out at the thought of getting their camera gear wet or getting themselves wet. But with proper preparation and proper rain gear for both you and your camera, you are fine. Rain photography is amazing. And because so many people wimp out, you really have a chance to let your photography shine here and go out there and take some unusual shots that a lot of people aren't taking. Couple of facts about rain photography. For the purposes of this podcast, rain photography usually happens when it's quite cloudy and overcast. So that's the lighting style I'm going to assume that people are using. And in general, when you're using these overcast, lighting, cloudy days, you have a much lower contrast range, and that makes it much more easy for your camera to handle. And a lower contrast range, by definition, means that you are getting better color saturation. Actually, it doesn't mean that by definition, but that's what happens. You get much more saturated colors when the lighting is soft and overcast. And you can get moodier looking shots. It's just beautiful. I love rain photography. So really, just like get out there. In terms of gear, you need rain gear for you so that you're comfortable. You know, if the rain is really going to bother you, go to like a mountain co-op store or some camping store and get yourself some kick butt rain gear. It'll keep you completely dry, you know, from head to toe. You can get yourself boots. You can get yourself rain gear that's suited for the temperature that you live in. You know, sometimes there's a bit of a chill factor. You may want it a bit warmer. But when you're comfortable, rain photography is not the chore. It's not so annoying when you're comfortable. So that's tip one. And the second thing here is how do you protect your camera? And I use something called the rain sleeve. And there's so many different things that you could use to protect your camera. But for me, it's something that costs $12 for two of them. And it's so useful. I think if you buy it on B&H or something, I'll throw a link in the show notes. It's even cheaper. I think I paid $12 for mine. Anyway, it's basically just a clear plastic bag for your camera. And it kind of looks like a reverse R shape. So you fit your camera in one end and you just look through it. You look through the viewfinder and you shoot. There's a cord near where the lens is, so you could tie it tightly around the camera lens. And I'll put a pic in the show notes as well so you could see what it looks like. And it's just so versatile. I love it. You fold it up into nothing. It goes with me at all times and it sits in my camera bag. Before I bought that, I actually tried something a little different. It was a cape and it was more of a hard plastic thing that I gotta say, in terms of thickness and durability, it was better, but to bring it around from place to place was a pain in the butt. It took its own extra box. It wasn't handy, it wasn't useful. So, you know, maybe under like crazy rain conditions, maybe that one is indeed better, and that's about $60 or $70. But I gotta tell you, I liked the $12 one much better, and I carry it everywhere I go, and I've used it many, many, many times. So I really recommend that. If you're looking for something durable, of course, you can always just Google rain sleeve, rain cape, rain cover, and you'll just get tons and tons and tons of options. So buy what you think works for you, but keep in mind that the portability factor of everything you're going to bring is also nice. And because this folds up into nothing, it's a good one. In terms of backpacks, I have a backpack to carry my gear that I love, but I rarely bring it when it's raining really hard because I don't want to soak my gear. I'm typically not going to change lenses. I'm just going to use one lens because I don't want to get my camera too wet. I just want to get out there with one lens. It's fully protected. And I shoot. I have on occasion taken a second lens in a pocket in a plastic bag, and then in a drier area I'll switch lenses, but normally I'm just shooting one lens. So I don't bring my backpack, but if you do bring your backpack, my backpack's gotten wet before, and I do not have one of these extra rain cover things that go over the backpack. I have a good backpack. It's a Lowepro, and it fits my gear perfectly, and I love it, and it's water resistant, and I've never really had a problem, but for like torrential downpours or crazy stuff like that, if you are going to bring your backpack, you're going to want to have some type of plastic covering. Often they come with the bag and you can take it out from a hiding place and cover your whole bag with it. Or, you know, worst comes to worst, put a garbage bag over your backpack or have that garbage bag handy. That 10-cent garbage bag is worth its weight in gold when you're threatened with thousands of dollars of gear getting soaking wet. So highly recommended that you get a great backpack if you want to bring all your equipment. But might just be easier just to bring one lens. In terms of shooting and shooting technique, often rain photography is conducive to slower shutter speeds, and slower shutter speeds need a tripod. You're going to want a good tripod. You're going to want to bring that with you if you're going to do slow shutter speeds, and you're going to want to maybe not use the cable release. I have a cable release, and you can always do whatever the heck you want, but I find in rain photography, it's just something else to get wet and something else to keep hold of. So I find using like the self timer, putting it on 2 seconds or 5 seconds, is just a great, great way to get those slow shutter shots on your tripod and have a little more ease doing it, as opposed to more things to tangle with in the wet. It's always a little more difficult in the wet. So the more you can simplify your technique and your gear choices, I think the easier it's going to be and the more fun you're likely to have. So that's my personal recommendation. And if you really, really hate the rain, I've done this a few times too, even though I don't quite hate it. I've shot from my car, right? So you can just open your car window. And again, I'll usually use that rain sleeve that I spoke about anyway, just to keep it drier. But this keeps you really, really dry and allows you to shoot from the comfort of your own car. If it's cooler, you can put on the heat for a little bit. You don't have a good time doing it. You can shoot through the windshield of your car too. That's something I've done a number of times on a rainy day for really cool effects. You could shoot the drops on the windshield itself, or you could shoot something in the distance, but just another way to be creative when you're out there. Of course, if you're in the car, you're likely going to want to use a zoom lens, but that's up to you. In terms of subject matter, reflections, as Matt Ozzie pointed out, are great. Puddles are great. Foliage are great. Close-ups are great, long shots are great. Because the contrast is reduced, as we mentioned, there's often single elements of bright color. Famous shot by Shin Sugino, I think it was. I think I saw that shot 15, 20 years ago. But it's basically a red umbrella against the sea of black umbrellas. Just stuff like that just comes out really, really, really well on cloudy, rainy days. And because of that reduced contrast, it just makes isolating color a fun thing to try. As always, for more creative photography, I always try and encourage people to like take different angles, get really, really low, take a picture of some rain falling in a puddle on the sidewalk, you know, from a low angle or a high angle, shoot upwards, shoot into a flower, catch the raindrops on a flower from overhead. Mix up your angles and you often get much more unusual compositions and a very intriguing one. So I always recommend that you mix it up. And if you're mixing it up in a rain photography condition, well, you might even get more interesting shots. So try it up, mix it up. And then after the rain, right? So after the rain finishes, you still might have the exact same lighting conditions, except no rain. So, you know, if the rain has just finished, then this might be a great time to just get out there without all the protective rain gear, or maybe just have it in your pocket anyway, just to be sure. But get out there and shoot those same subjects, you know, flowers with water drops on them, things of that nature. It's just a fun time to shoot, and you don't get to do it all the time. So after the rain, you have the, you know, the two-in-one advantage of getting the great lighting with the drops and stuff like that on subject matter, but not getting wet. And then I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about is post-shooting. After you come home, your gear may be wet to varying degrees. Your backpack may be wet, your camera may be wet. You have to make sure that it's dry. You want to wipe that camera down nicely. You want to wipe your filters down nicely. If it's really, really, really wet, you may want to lay a fan on your camera, something to dry it off. You definitely want to dry the inside of your bag. You know, fungus, mold, mildew, all these things are part of life with photography when your gear gets wet. And the last thing you want is like a mushroom growing in your camera or some type of mold or fungus in your camera. It can and does happen often. So I really highly recommend that you take the extra few minutes to properly clean your camera, dry your tripod legs, you know, dry the pieces of your tripod. Make sure everything gets dry so that it doesn't rust or get mold or mildew. And I think that's all I got to say about that. Hope those were some good tips for you. As always, if I've left something out, but a listener thinks of something intriguing to add or another great tip, please email me, photography.ca@gmail.com. You can post at the forum at photography.ca or just go to the blog and comment directly there, which is our preferred way to get comments at photography.ca/blog. That's it for me, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Gonna try and put another one out in 2 weeks, but get out there. And even if it's raining, keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.